They're here.
To this day intimidate me, and I am 25 years old.
I get more scared of them as the years go by. Like, the further I'm away from teen years, the more I'm just like, holy, you guys are menaces.
Yeah.
And you don't know things, but you think you know things, and you're very strong.
Teenagers are menaces to society. I know this because my brother listens, and he is a teenager.
And we were once teenagers, and I look back, I'm just like, damn, dude, you sucked.
Oh, yeah. I remember thinking, walking around, like, the mall, like, I fucking owed that shit.
Oh, my God, and then I worked at the mall. I'm just like, I'm one of the mall people, and now I'm like, I'll never work at a mall. Fuck. It's oof.
Yeah, anyway, teenagers are in this movie.
Yes.
Barely, but they are.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Trick or Treat. Welcome.
That's right.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is other host, Anthony Fuentes.
It has been a week, people. Hey.
It has been a week. Yeah. It's technically been 48 hours since we last recorded, but...
You don't know that.
And
but
now you do know that. Because we're spilling all the secret sauce today.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I wish we made some predictions, but I don't know if any of them have come true. The vice president debate was last night, and the only thing that anyone ever got out of it was Kamala Harris is, like, very expressive and...
The fly thing. Yeah, the fly thing.
On Mike Pence's head. So he's a walking corpse.
This is going to be such old news when this comes out.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be so...
And I'm just like, that's all you got from that? That's literally all you got?
But... Ugh. I can't even look at fucking Pence's face without a fly on it.
Anyway, the whole thing, that's all I got. Because I didn't even watch it. I was like, I'm taking a break.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's, again, it's going to be old. Like, think about, like...
By the time this comes out, we're, like, going to be rapidly approaching... It's going to be, I think, past the second presidential debate.
It's not even going on. It's just Biden is going to have a town hall now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, because Trump refuses to do virtual...
I'm afraid how dated this is going to be, but I'm... You think the extreme I'm thinking of is, like...
Wait, we're going to be in the middle of World War III when this...
Potentially. I say Trump, you know what, the COVID takes him. It's day nine or day whatever it is, and we're all taking this shit, and it's just like, oh, we're actually should be talking about presidential nominee Mike Pence. It's a possibility. I could be totally wrong. Please, 2020. I don't know. You know what, though? Knowing our predictions is going to be worse than that. So...
Oh, God, what's going to happen?
I don't even know. We'll update it on the next episode, which actually we're recording before this one even comes out. So, you know what? Yeah.
We're so ahead. Anyway, welcome back,
guys.
Hey, guys.
Life is chaos.
Mm-hmm. Fucking vote, please.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, so we're talking about Trick or Treat from 2007, and good Lord.
It is a movie.
I think I like this more than Anthony did.
What, this movie?
Mm-hmm.
No, I like this movie.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, I actually really like this movie.
Okay.
I think it's a very flawed movie, but I really like it. It's in that weird kind of zone for me.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's a very slick looking, narratively flawed film to me.
Of course.
Yeah. But it is
like many horror films.
Yeah. It's like its own way though. Like in very much its own way.
Especially from 2007.
Oh, this totally stands out amongst the 2007 pack. Like, 100%. Like, this is not a torture porn movie, even though there are some very graphic elements.
Oh, so good.
I know.
Anyway.
We're talking about, of course, Trick or Treat, and IMDb is going to give us a breakdown here. Let's see if they do it as good as they did for The Craft. Listen to last week's episode. So, 5 interwoven stories that occur on Halloween. An everyday high school principal has a secret life as a serial killer. A college virgin might... have just met the guy for her. A group of teenagers pull a mean prank. Understated, okay. A woman who loathes the night has to contend with her holiday-obsessed husband. And a mean old man meets his match with a demonic Supernatural Trick or Treater. Yeah, okay. That's...
Yeah, that's they're the out of log order. Lines of all but, those,
yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, woman loves... Oh, right. That's the...
the whole time I could hear you just being like, someone's... Oh, yeah, that's right. Like, mm-hmm. I could... Like, by the time you get to the end of this sentence, you're like, oh, yes, mm-hmm. of course.
But yeah, this was actually directed by Michael Dougherty.
Dougherty.
Produced by Bryan Singer, who is a bastard, but he made some good movies.
Who is a bastard?
Yeah, who's a piece of shit, but I still think Michael Dougherty. Pretty cool dude. So this is starring a pretty good cast of people, actually. So it's Dylan Baker, Rochelle Ates, Anna Paquin. I love her. And then Brian Cox. This was clearly... produced by Bryan Singer. Yeah. It's got a couple X-Men in here. Okay.
It does.
And what should have been The Lizard. So this was released on December 9th, 2007, at the one-time referenced in this podcast, Butt-Numathon. Please see our Poughkeepsie Tapes episode for that one. We have a very, very crazy story from that particular screening. This actually looks like it might be the same fucking screening that happened at.
Oh, yeah. They probably did Trick or Treat and the Poughkeepsie Tapes back to back. They watched Trick or... what I would have given to have been at that screening. The Midnight Madness of fucking the Butt-Numathon. Like, are you fucking kidding?
Jesus fucking Christ. Okay, definitely. It's our fourth episode, the Poughkeepsie Tapes. It is one of our most popular episodes of the entire series that we've done.
It's not our strongest...
I think it's pretty good, but...
It's good, yeah, but we're
but we have grown since then,
we're
sure.
still getting our footing.
That's true. But it tells a little more background about this particular type of festival, and let's just say that December 9th, 2007, Butt-Numathon was a chaotic event. So, and it had this movie. But of course, it was officially released in the U.S. 2 years later, much like the Poughkeepsie Taste, October 6th, 2009. God damn, that is some time. And it was budgeted, of course, for $12 million in 2007 dollars, which goes a long way. And I think it looks like a million-dollar movie for sure. This is a good fucking
movie. Oh, yeah. It's very aesthetically, like, it looks the part.
Absolutely. It looks a little more. It looks a little bit. Yeah. We've covered some shit that costs, like, $30 million. I'm like, it does not look like this fucking film. It doesn't have the same cast either. I don't know what the fuck they spend their money on.
Uh-huh. So, because it's Halloween, and to get into the spirit of the holiday... Let's talk about the history of Halloween, shall we?
This is one of our most Halloween-y Halloween episodes.
Oh,
this
is like to the core.
This is Halloween AF, I guess.
And also, this is important for later because, you know, Halloween, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the history of Halloween.
Let's do it.
So it originated with the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain, not Samhain, Samhain.
I'm going to say Samhain every time, just so you know.
Samhain.
Good thing you're reading this part.
This is my Neve Campbell.
Your Neve Campbell.
when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts.
Ooh.
In the 8th century, Pope Gregory III designated November 1st as a time to honor All Saints, All Saints Day, and it incorporated some of the traditions of Samhain. The evening before was known as All Hallows Eve and later Halloween.
I like All Hallows Eve is, I think, a very good name for a day.
It's great.
Yes.
It has that ooky spookiness to it. The celebration of Halloween was extremely limited in colonial New England because of the rigid Protestant belief system there. Halloween was much more common in Maryland than in the southern colonies, however, in the Americas.
And for more on that, listen to our episode of last season, The Witch.
Yes!
Which we go through some New England fucking folktale shit back in the day.
To some people, the V-Vitch.
The V-Vitch. Oh my god, that is a very good movie.
Very nice. Very nice.
Hey, there you go.
As the beliefs and customs of different European ethnic groups and the American Indians meshed, a distinctly American version of Halloween began to emerge.
Oh, I am learning some shit. That's interesting. Fuck yeah. Okay.
The first celebrations included play parties, which were public events held to celebrate the harvest. Neighbors would share stories of the dead, tell each other's fortunes, dance, and sing. This is all before it was, like, colored by evil than religion, and like this, like it's a bad holiday.
It was a more, it's a celebration.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a celebration. Good food. I remember somebody who died last year because they stubbed their toe, and you know what? That guy was a good guy, and he kicked the ball real good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Colonial Halloween festivities also featured the telling of ghost stories and mischief-making of all kinds. By the middle of the 19th century, annual autumn festivals were very common, but Halloween was not yet celebrated everywhere in the country.
You know, you can clearly see the pieces going together because autumn colors are the shit.
Yeah.
They are my favorite colors.
Exactly. In the second half of the 19th century, America was flooded with new immigrants. These new immigrants, especially the millions of Irish fleeing the Irish potato famine, helped popularize the celebration of Halloween nationally. So.
There you go. It brings us back to our Halloween 3 episode also, because of the Irish people in there.
Oh, because
the Shamrocks. That's right.
God fucking God. thank you for tying this into 4 different episodes.
Plug. It's October, guys. You got time.
borrowing from European traditions, Americans began to dress up in costumes and go house to house asking for food or money, a practice that eventually did become, of course, trick-or-treating today.
Oh my God, if they gave us money, that'd be great.
I know, could you imagine? Like, I'd be trick-or-treating now, I'd be like, hello, I would...
Food or money, sir. How much I spend on this costume, how much I eat daily? Come on,
chop it up.
Yeah. You're looking at the goods.
In the late 1800s, there was a move in America to mold Halloween into a holiday more about community and neighborly get-togethers than about ghosts, pranks, and witchcraft. At the turn of the century, Halloween parties for both children and adults became the most common way to celebrate the day. These parties focused on games, food, like the foods of the season, and festive costumes. So we're seeing all the parts kind of come together.
We're on our way to slutty costumes. We're almost there.
We're almost there to tits out.
It's like festive, like, whoa, hold on, just a sheet, okay.
Well, parents were actually encouraged by newspapers and community leaders to take everything frightening or grotesque out of Halloween celebrations. And because of these efforts, Halloween lost most of its superstitious and religious overtones by the beginning of the 20th century. So
they made the opportunity for the titties to come out.
Kind of.
Right there. They're like, no, none of that gross, none of that like horror shit. Like, okay, what about erotic shit? Well, hold on a second.
What about the erotic shit? So between 1920 and 1950, the centuries-old practice of trick-or-treating was also revived. This was a relatively inexpensive way for an entire community to share the Halloween celebration. And in theory, families could also prevent tricks from being played on them by providing the neighborhood children with small treats. They're basically literally bribing the neighborhood, the local neighborhood. Neighborhood children with food to be like, don't egg our houses or throw or TP us or whatever.
Right? And for the kid that still does it next year, razor blade in the fucking candy.
Oh my God.
What?
That's a myth.
It's a preventative measure.
It was a one-time thing. We could get into the true crime story behind it.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that'd be fun.
I could get into it, but I'll choose not to. So Halloween eventually did become the commercialized holiday we know and love today. Tits out, candy everywhere, you know.
Yeah, all the good stuff. Yeah. I think it was a good journey from celebrating, like, being able to be alive the next year and have food.
Right.
Yes.
And it's an evolved holiday. And this is the abridged version, I do have to say. I played fast and loose.
No, it's good. It's good. I think it shows how much wealth has occurred within human society, because it's like, good, my friend died last year, and, like, I still believe in all this shit, and da-da-da-da-da.
It's kind of interesting to see, like, the parallels, especially in the beginning, it's parallels to Dia de los Muertos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of those similarities.
Yeah,
as well.
Same type of celebration. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And absolutely. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, but you know what? Not a lot of targets in Mexico. So, clearly...
Well, then, I know, there's not a lot of connection there.
Mm-hmm. No, but... we took a different direction at some point, when they're just like, we can bring a whole fourth of the store for this. Yeah, I get it.
Mm-hmm. So, America.
Listen to our episode on the witch, by the way, just for real.
The Vavitch. Oh, that was a fun episode. That was a good episode.
That was good. It was a good movie, honestly. Ugh. But, of course, because of these very, very strong connections to Americana and Halloween, somebody decided to make a movie that was Halloween as shit.
Hell yeah.
And we're going to talk about how that got made right now. And that motherfucker was Michael Dougherty.
Mm-hmm.
I did it.
Good.
All right.
You got there.
And he actually wanted to make a movie about, of course, Halloween traditions that had long been abandoned, which is, up until this point, makes sense. We're definitely past that. But he wanted to craft a story that reminded people what the holiday was really actually about, as it is his favorite holiday and probably a lot of people's favorite holiday who listen to this podcast.
Cause it's mine.
It's a dope-ass holiday. I love it. Yes, it's definitely top two for me. My mom makes a killer Thanksgiving dinner. It's hard to contend with that level of stuffing prowess. But, again, slutty costumes. It's food or titties. I don't know. I don't know, Alex.
You're such a man.
Anyways, Trick or Treat was filmed on location in Vancouver, British Columbia, which is, of course, very, very common. There isn't a lot about the movie except its impact on horror, actually. So it really is kind of one of those under-the-radar films for a while, really.
Yeah, I found, like, a documentary about, like, the making of for this movie. And really, like, there was, like, literally part of it, like, a good chunk of it was the history of Halloween. Like, yeah. I was just like, I'm like, okay, let's get to the movie part. It's really, there's not a lot.
Interesting. Well, I mean, they're, you know, these are old traditions they just decided to narratively put in some kind of weird form. But most of the jack-o'-lanterns were made out of either foam or ceramic. So that's something we know. And an on-set joke was that no pumpkins were harmed during the making of this film because they were all fake.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of, like, sad, though?
What?
I kind of wish they were real pumpkins.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a set. They're like, this one's getting moldy between shots. We've been here since 4 a.m.
I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess.
It's business, dude. It's business.
I mean, I get it. Doesn't mean I have to like it.
No, you're right. You're right. 100%. I agree. But little people were used to fill in for kids trick-or-treating since the film was shot mainly at night and real kids could not work these hours. Smart. Smart. Put a mask on them.
Just
put a mask
put
on.
Put a mask and just walk down the street.
Yep, that kid's got chubby ankles. Yep, they all do. Good.
That's fine. No one's looking at their ankles.
No, that's true.
I didn't know this until after I had seen the movie. And now that I know this, the next time I watch the movie, I'm going to be on the lookout.
Oh, me too. Like, I was specifically reading that fact, thinking scenes. I'm like, really though? Good job. Good job, production staff on this
Clever
team.
Clever thinking.
Yeah, very good. But the film was originally supposed to be released in October of 2007 for a Halloween release, obviously. Warner Brothers, without explanation or reason, if you listen to this podcast, not out of line for Warner Brothers, pulled the film from the schedule and no rescheduled date was announced. It was made, Warner Brothers. It was already made, you...
It was done.
Pieces of shit.
All you had to do was just send it to... Whatever. Just distribute it.
You cunts. Anyways, so... one reason might have been that Saw 4, of course released in 2007, was slated for release around the same time and Warner Brothers did not want to compete against it in fears of a big opening against them. And you know what? Saw was losing steam around this time.
Saw 4. I'm trying... Oh.
That's the one when he, like...
Is that the one where...
A lot of flashbacks.
Yeah, it was like... is that when he's, like, dying in the hospital? Or is that 3?
I think he's already dead by this.
It's the autopsy one where he swallows the tape and,
Stupid. And then it, like, shows his wife and shit, and, like, he accidentally killed the baby because of a door or something like that.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Anyways, I did see that in theater around this time. You know what? I would have rather watched Trick or Treat. Gotta say. They should have just thrown a commercial.
Yeah.
You know? And, of course, I believe Rob Zombie's Halloween was around this time as well.
Ah.
But that was in the summer. Now I'm tripping.
I mean, it's still a horror-filled
year. Yeah, people could have just watched the DVD at home, you know? Who wants to go out? I get it, Warner Brothers. Still dumb. Anyways, so another possible reason the film was buried by the studio was that it was possible fallout from the box office disappointment of Superman Returns in 2006. I remember that, too. Which is co-written, of course, by writer-director Michael Dougherty, and both produced and directed by Mr. Bryan Singer, whose production company produced this film. This is Punishment. That makes more sense to me.
It was Retaliation.
Yes, that makes way more sense to me. Like, this Singer guy doesn't got it anymore. And did like Superman Returns, but...
You liked it?
I didn't mind it back in the day. Yeah, I saw it in IMAX. I know.
Fucking IMAX.
I would... Once I saw Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire in IMAX, I just kept going. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That was me. Okay. You know who I was in these days.
It's true. You were a dweeb.
Yep.
Still are.
To this day. Anyways, there was brief talk that the film would finally be released around Halloween 2008 and possibly early 2009, but neither release ever actually materialized. So again, there isn't a whole lot about the production of this movie, but in every capacity, it legitimately deserved better than what Warner Brothers was throwing at.
The fact that this movie never got a wide release fucking astounds me.
And you know what? Another shitty part, too, is it is such a staple in the horror community.
Yeah,
this
absolutely
could have been big.
Oh my gosh, yes. So, let's get into the release of this movie.
It actually got released? Okay, cool.
Kind of. So, the first, like, it got it. Anyway. So, the first public screening took place at the Buttonumathon in Austin, Texas on December 9th, 2007. Subsequent screenings included the Sitges Film Festival in October 7th.
My brother's birthday. Happy birthday, PJ.
Aw, happy birthday! Mm-hmm. On October, in 2008. And then the 2008 Screamfest Horror Film Festival on October 10th in 2008. And then New York did a free screening sponsored by Fangoria in October 13th. And then Los Angeles did one as well. Literally, it was just screened all over. It was screened at San Diego Comic-Con in 2009.
Dude, it's like fans...
I was there that year.
Fans were clamoring for it. They're just show us the movie.
Yeah. So, it was... and then also at the Fantasia Film Festival in 2009. We're talking at Terror in the Isles in Chicago in 2009. The After Dark Film Festival in 2009. Despite making its rounds in the film festival circuit, this movie never got a wide release. No one picked this movie up.
That was so dumb. Bryan Singer really fucked everything up.
Yeah. So eventually, Warner Brothers and Legendary Pictures released this film direct to DVD and Blu-ray in North America on October 6, 2009. A collector's edition also came out in 2018, complete with the short Season's Greetings, which is an additional short which goes into the origins of Sam's character.
I didn't know. I would love to have seen that.
Yeah.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah, so that's out there. I think you could probably find it. I haven't seen it, but I would love to.
I'm watching that when I get home with my sushi burrito. That's what I'm doing.
That is a great evening plan.
That's a good time right there. Hell yeah.
So on Rotten Tomatoes, the film holds an approval rating of 84% based off of 25 reviews with its average rating of 7.42 out of 10. The site's critical consensus reads, quote, "A deftly crafted tribute to Halloween legends, Trick or Treat hits all the genre marks with gusto and old-fashioned suspense."
I agree. It's a pretty old-fashioned film in some ways. Definitely.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of traditional, suspense built into it.
Yeah, almost has a Twilight Zone-y feel at times that really throws me off.
Yeah, well, it's funny because when I played the trailer, so I was going to watch this at my mom's.
Mm-hmm.
It was between that or Kronos, and my mom does not like foreign film. She's just like, I don't like reading subtitles. And I'm like, okay, mother. And
no Guillermo for you.
Yeah, right? And I was basically, I'm like, okay, I'm going to show you the trailer for Trick or Treat, and mm-hmm. I'm going to show you the trailer for Kronos, and we're going to decide which one you want to watch. And I was just like, you're not going to want to watch either of these movies, mm-hmm. but I'm going to show them to you anyway. And I showed... Motherfucker. And I showed the trailer for Trick or Treat, and Marcus was just like, is this Creepshow? Because it has, the comic book flipping.
Oh, yeah,
and, all that stuff. Like, it does have that kind of, classic kind of Creepshow feel to it.
It does, yeah. It clearly wears influences on its sleeve sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is fine. Like,
no,
I think
that's what makes it good.
I think it fits. But
yeah, 100%.
Anyway, Dread Central gave it 5 out of 5 stars, stating, quote, "Trick or Treat ranks alongside John Carpenter's Halloween as traditional October viewing, and I can't imagine a single horror fan that won't fall head over heels in love with it."
It's a very lovable movie.
True. I agree with this statement in the sense that if I want to compare Halloween or October essential watches, Trick or Treat is absolutely one of them.
Trick or Treat, Halloween, John Carpenter, Hocus Pocus.
That's why I picked Trick or Treat for this month, because mm-hmm. I was like, this is such a good Halloween movie.
It is. It's a one of the Halloween movies for sure.
Yeah, outside of the Halloween franchise. Yeah.
Well, now, real quick question.
Yes.
Did you pick Kronos or this movie? Which way
we
did it go?
We ended up not watching either of them because
I know.
Because my mom does not like horror, and I realized, like, Trick or Treat is too gory for her.
Yes. Absolutely.
And she would have been like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. I think she probably would have liked Sam, though.
Yeah. Sam's cool as shit.
But she would have liked that Anna Paquin's in it.
Mm. Man. And then Cronus is a good movie, too. So it's like...
Yes. And I was, like, trying to explain the concept, too, and I, but because, like, the trailer didn't have subtitles. Mm. And I was just like, okay, so this is what's going on. I don't speak Spanish, but I know the premise. Based off of context clues, this is what's going on in my very limited understanding of the Spanish language.
And she's like, ¿qué?
Like, okay, ma. But, okay, so IGN called it, quote, a very well-crafted Halloween horror tribute, and, quote, a scary blast, giving it a 8 out of 10.
I may have actually read this IGN review back in the day. I was a big IGN fan in this era. I remember that.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. Not anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, unfortunately. I'm sorry, guys.
It's fine. So, Bloody Disgusting ranked the film 9th in their list of top 20 horror films of the decade.
Oh, of the decade?
Yeah.
That should have been higher than that.
Calling it, quote, so good that its lack of a theatrical release borders on the criminal.
I agree, Bloody Disgusting.
I totally agree.
100%.
On Letterboxd, this film has a 3.6 average review out of 34,000 plus reviews.
Hell yes. Okay.
So, Katie with 5 stars, quote, Sam is the only bitch I've ever respected, unquote. Josh Lewis with 4 stars, quote, my little pumpkin man's is the Halloween cop, LMAO.
Oh boy. Okay, yeah, Sam's got some love, for sure.
He's, like, this old, the little, like, fucking icon. Like,
he's Halloween iconography, and he's a 2007 creation.
Absolutely.
Like, that's,
like,
crazy.
Instant recognition. Yes. Like, that's great, you know? Mm-hmm. And also no wide release.
Stupid. Stupid Warner Brothers. God damn it. I hate you guys sometimes.
George Long with 3.5 stars says, quote, this is a mandatory Halloween movie. It just does such a great job at giving a good variety of scary stories that all have the Halloween vibe. Also, Sam is so iconic that I feel he has been in more movies than just this one, unquote.
He deserved to be in more, I'll tell you what.
And then Lindsay with 4 stars, quote, I now only care about one feral pumpkin boy and one sexy gang of werewolves.
Pretty sexy gang of werewolves, must say. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Cameron J. with 4.5 stars. Quote, Trick or Treat is so damn fun. Wonderfully written with some great editing and effects. If this doesn't tip off your Halloween boner, then I don't know what will. Unquote.
Never heard Halloween and boner together in that context, but... You know
I
what?
Agree.
Yeah, yeah, Cameron J, you made a good point, 100%.
So that is, I mean, it deserves better. Like there isn't, it just fucking sucks,
gotcha,
man.
Gotcha, Ken. No, I agree. Now, when we talk about, of course, what's next for Trick or Treat, let's get into this shit. So, Michael Dougherty announced in October 2009, which is 11 years ago, that he is planning a sequel.
Thanks for the caveat. We know what year it is.
But later stated that there were, quote unquote, no active development nor any attempt at a pitch. He went on to say that the more fans continue to support and spread the movie, the more likely it is that Sam will rise from the pumpkin patch once more.
It's a great, it's the great pumpkin, Charlie Brown. And instead,
with Sam.
Only it's Sam.
Oh, Jesus. So what are you doing here? I want to go trick-or-treating. You want to go trick-or-treating? Anyways, in October 2013, Dougherty and Legendary Pictures officially announced a sequel titled Trick or Treat 2. Dougherty said he plans to shake it up a little bit with the sequel. Now, in October 2017, Dougherty stated, and this is 4 years later, my hope is that once Godzilla has been put to rest, that I can dive back into it. I would love to finish writing it in post-production, and then I'd love to make it my next project. But we'll see. So, who knows? But anyways, DC Comics partner Wildstorm Comics had planned to release a 4-issue adaptation of Trick or Treat written by Mark Andrico? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And illustrated by Fiona Staples, much easier name, with covers by Michael Dougherty, Breen Burns, and Ragnar. The series was originally going to be released weekly in October of 2007, ending on Halloween. But the series was pushed back due to the film's backlisting?
Backlisting.
Not blacklist. Blacklisting. It was like two different things. The four comics were instead released as a graphic novel adaptation in October 2009. Legendary Comics set the second Trick or Treat comic book, titled Trick or Treat, Days of the Dead, for an October 2015 release date, and features arts of artist Fiona Staples and, of course, Stephen Byrne. The comic was released alongside the graphic novel tie-in of Doherty's Krampus, which we might be seeing very, very soon. And that's where I recognize his fucking name. That's where it is. I remember that shit now. That movie didn't make as much money either. Fuck.
But poor bastard.
I know. He gives us good shit with great special effects and nobody watches it. I didn't watch Godzilla King of the Monsters in theaters. Still.
I did see Krampus in theaters.
Also, you know what? Some people walked out. They walked out before the end.
Really?
But they walked, because, you know, Krampus, spoiler alert for Krampus real quick, when they're like, have that like happy, oh, it's Christmas and we're all together, like that with the music and everything. Everybody thought that was the real end, and they walked out before the credits. Yeah. Dumb ass motherfuckers. I hate these. Like, they look like the people that would be like, yeah, freaking busy. Like, they had that look on their fucking faces.
Stupid.
Ugh. They missed like by 2 minutes. Like,
then would have had a
the
really,
payoff. The payoff.
Just the good ending.
Anyways, yeah, you might be seeing this soon, guys. Clearly, the Krampus passion is high. But shall we do? Shall we get into this?
Let's talk about this. Okay, because like honestly, these are movies that I picked, and if anything, they are worthy of some plot discussion.
I 100% agree. So if you have not seen this film, we're gonna tell you to turn around right now. Turn around.
Stop the car, even if you're in the middle of the fucking freeway.
You could rent it for $3 in HD in any platform. And it's Halloween, and I recommend you do it. It's graphic. It has Anna Paquin in it. And Brian Cox. Being Brian Cox, you'll recognize his fucking voice, his vocals.
Oh, yeah.
Good movie. Watch it.
It's good. Like, honestly, I've yet to come across a horror fan who's been like, I don't like Trick or Treat. I haven't.
And honestly, if you come across a horror fan that doesn't like Trick or Treat, you hit them in the nose.
You just bop them.
No, not even bop square. I want you to hit, like, cock it back and make sure they know that you're doing it. Like, it's going to surprise them.
Look them dead in the fucking eye.
Don't look at their face. No, hit them and just walk away. Don't give them, identify you.
You're giving them punch and Nazi treatment? Jesus.
Yeah, don't let them recognize you for that. Like, just let them know that force happened because of their stupid taste in things.
Okay, yeah. Wow, Jesus Christ, advocating violence, Anthony Fuentes.
It's 2020, baby. But watch this movie, it's a very good movie. You don't have to punch anybody.
Yeah, don't punch anyone. Just go home, smoke a bowl, watch Trick or Treat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, eat some candy.
Yeah.
Check it first.
Check, obviously, based on the plot that we're about to get into right now. So
check it first, but eat some candy, watch Trick or Treat. Enjoy yourself. It's a good fucking movie.
It's a very good movie, 100%.
Okay.
Would you like to kick it off, Alex?
So
give it to us.
This is broken down into 5, 6 approximately little vignettes.
They all intertwine.
They all kind of intermingle, which is what I love about this movie, is that it does have these little, like, the vignettes, but they're not, like, one and then another and then another. It's not Creepshow.
No, it's not an anthology in the pure sense.
It's not a pure anthology, but it is.
It's like a Quentin Tarantino anthology.
Yes.
It's essentially what it is.
That is a way to describe it, yes. Mm-hmm. That, and I will agree, yes, that it is a Quentin Tarantino anthology. So, it's very cool, because you'll see, like, you know, like, main characters from other vignettes will be background characters, mm-hmm. or main characters and background
plot
characters.
Plot points will overlap slightly, but enough where you're like, oh, that did happen, okay.
But, cool. Oh, if that hadn't happened, this wouldn't have happened. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So, it's cool. So in the opening sequence of this movie, Emma and her Halloween-loving husband, Henry, return home after going out and doing whatever married couples in their 30s do on Halloween.
Don't know, not married, in my 30s, but, yeah. And then most of my friends are divorced, so, you know, yeah.
I don't know what they do. I don't know what y'all are up to.
Mm-mm.
But it looks like...
Scrabble parties.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your life is just over when you're married in your 30s, right?
No, Scrabble's the shit.
I love Scrabble.
When you're 30s, you're really good at it. That's why.
I'm good at it now, motherfucker.
But in your 30s, I feel like that's pro Scrabble time. You got all the vocabulary built over your 20s. It's accumulated.
So you're saying I still have 5 more years of getting better at Scrabble?
Yes. I don't think you're at your peak.
Okay, Dad. Jesus.
I believe in you.
Fuck off.
When you're married in your 30s, you're like, he was right. I'm killing at these parties.
God damn it. Anyway, whatever married couples do in their 30s on Halloween, which is apparently... take down Halloween decorations and have sex.
Yeah.
Henry takes a rest in his house while Emma begins tearing down the seasonal decorations before the night ends and is murdered by an unseen assailant.
Oh, at this point in the movie, it's very in the beginning, and yes, very unseen. Very like, oh, what happened there? She's dead in a very gruesome way.
Henry discovers her mutilated corpse on display with the decorations hours later.
Oh, and that is a gruesome scene.
Oh, it's so good.
So gruesome.
And it does that awesome fucking, like, zoom out into the comic book kind of format.
It sets the precedent of what this movie is. Right. So if you don't like this opening scene, again, you deserve to be punched in the face. But it will tell you how the rest of the movie goes.
Did that sound like a door close?
No, that was... I probably moved too much in the chair.
It sounded like a door closing.
Is your poltergeist acting up? Fucking rustling the freaking blinds and turning your lights on and off and then doors slamming and shit.
Oh.
Alex has a poltergeist in her apartment. I don't know where it's from, or this doesn't seem like... It seems like a recent development.
Don't acknowledge it. It just makes it worse. I've seen Paranormal Activity.
It seems like a cool ghost, though.
Don't say that.
It seems like a cool one.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like some old Mexican lady, I swear, at the beginning of this development. She's just like, she wants you to make tamales, or she's not going to leave.
Okay.
You have to make tamales.
That's great. I will. Like, I fucking love tamales. I haven't had tamales in forever.
Christmas is coming up. It's the time. It's
tamale
the time.
Tamale season.
I'm just telling you.
Tamale season.
Because she's like rustling, like, make the fucking tamales. So, with that... New segment time, guys. Again, we're doing this differently. Normally, it's more intertwined, but we're going to tell you the full stories. And, you watch the movie and see how they Tarantino'd it.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And we'll just give each other our own annoying commentary.
Absolutely, as we get through it. So, Charlie, an annoying teen vandal who smashes jack-o'-lanterns because he's an asshole, is caught and lectured by his school principal, Stephen Wilkins, which is the most principal fucking name ever. Of course, he's lectured on how the rules and traditions of Halloween must be obeyed and respected.
Soon to be young William Stryker.
Of course. Fucking, right?
Yeah. Oh,
was that Dylan Baker? Was he?
Yeah, he goes on to play young Stryker in I think Days of Futures Past.
No.
No, not...
That's way later.
No. It's one of the other later X movies, but I'm pretty sure it's...
Origins Wolverine?
Something. He plays a young William Stryker. I just remember that.
The principal or the kid?
The principal.
Does he?
I'm like 90% sure.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that makes sense. He does have that Stryker forehead for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he's got the body type 100%. He looks kind of like in Origins, but I wouldn't say it's Dylan Baker. It's just some guy that like looks like Dylan Baker with not as cool a voice, if I remember correctly.
He was in Spider-Man 2. I could be confusing.
I think you're tripping. He's the lizard.
Yeah.
He's the lizard in Raimi's, but he didn't quite get to be the lizard because Raimi made Spider-Man 3 and fucked everything up.
It's true.
Yeah. Poor bastard. He could have been a good in that role. Anyways, so I'm telling you, he's not Stryker. I know he's not.
Okay.
Alex says she Googles.
It's true. But yeah, no, he was, you know...
Spider-Man. He would have been cool as Stryker. I think so.
I could have sworn he played it. Anyway.
He has the haircut.
He has the haircut. He had the look.
He's a little too neurotic to be Stryker, though. Stryker's
it's true.
Very confident.
It's very, like, precise. Mm-hmm. And
Stryker's, yeah, exactly. Precise, concise, all the ices. All the adjectives that you need to describe somebody that gets their shit together. Yeah. Dylan Baker's just this side of not that.
All right, fuck you.
Right. But of course, Charlie, a little boy, dies after vomiting up poisoned candy. And of course, Wilkins chocolate is spiked with cyanide. So while attempting to cover up the death, he ends up handing out candy to children even a visiting Sam.
He's the cutest little motherfucker.
He is. He's very
adorable. Truly,
I
want like a life, like a true to size Sam to just put in my apartment somewhere.
Put out in front of your door.
Yeah.
Scare the shit out of people.
Yeah, whoever's stealing fucking packages off my porch.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
They're not gonna do it. They're not gonna do it after saying that shit.
Oh, truly. The
vomiting thing's gross.
It's disgusting. They're in the making of documentary I found for this. The rig that they set him up to.
Okay, I'm interested about this, yes.
It was like this like tube that was like in, like, the corner of his mouth, like a fucking fish hook with, like, a tube, and it was just, like, projectile.
Just fucking tossing it out there?
But apparently, the actor was very professional about the whole thing. Like, Dylan Baker is just like, oh, yeah, he was great. He was great to work with. Like,
is that the kid from Bad Santa?
I don't know. Would you like me to look it up?
Actually, that would be very good. I would appreciate that because, I mean, I feel like I've seen
this
kid.
Because I'm the woman with the keyboard?
I realize I have access to the same information within hand's reach.
It's open in front of me right
100%,
now, currently.
100%.
So.
Is it? We have to know now. I swear he was in Bad Santa.
Okay, hold on. Give me a second.
This fucking kid. He's got that 2007 face.
Yes, Bad Santa.
He wasn't Bad Santa.
Bad Santa, Bad Santa 2, Unaccompanied Minors, The Sandlot 2.
Man, this kid was... What the fuck happened, dude? He was the shit back in the day. He actually had some roles. Oh, anyways. Yeah. And he got killed right away. It's Bryan Singer fucked everything up. I tell you.
God
I tell you.
It,
it's him. Yeah.
Anyway, so this whole rig and everything, like...
Yes.
He also played the douche canoe very well.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like walking. He's like, this is my costume. That stupid fucking t-shirt that everyone would... Like, all the fucking mean people would wear. And I would just be like, get a real costume. Mm-hmm. Just like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he plays his role really, really well. And the death, of course, is just fucking
disgusting.
Hard to watch. Very, very, very hard to watch. But of course, and of course, Sam gets in. You get a little treat of just the what you're going to see.
Because, like, you see
bit.
Him also in the beginning as well, standing across the street. And it's just like, oh, I love this little guy.
That's why it's such an iconic character. He's like just overlaid within the context of the whole storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween is Fuck, this movie, again, if you made it this far, you just say, oh, I don't want to watch Trick or Treat. Watch Trick or Treat. Seriously, we're gonna spoil the shit out of this. Anyways, so Wilkins tries burying Charlie and another child in his backyard, which is a good bit of dark humor, but is interrupted continuously by his son, Billy, and neighbor, Mr. Krieg, an elderly, scared recluse whose only company is his dog. This is the most Simpsons fucking scene of this whole movie.
Oh, yeah, just in the background, like... Dad, I'm back for trick or treating.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole thing.
And then like yeah, he's about to hit and he's just like, hold on a second.
Dad, I want to carve the pumpkin.
Oh,
and
my
I was
God.
Just like, wow, you're an annoying fucking kid. I'd want to kill you too.
This is like 100% like a Simpsons fucking skit, dude. Like it really is like that type of humor.
Yeah, and then to like get the dog off his back, he fucking chops off a finger
and just
tosses
it. Yep. Oh my gosh. Again, such dark humor at the very beginning of this film. Again, it gives you a good idea of the tone and the gruesomeness of the whole thing. It's really, really well done.
Yeah, for sure.
But Wilkins takes Charlie's severed head indoors so he and Billy can carve a jack-o'-lantern out of it, with Billy either unknowing or uncaring about if the head is real or not. Yeah. I feel like he knows it's real.
He
it's
knows.
Like a thing that
and
keeps
like,
happening.
He's
like
raising a little psycho.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh yeah, wow, we got a good one this year. Kind of like way of going about
yeah,
it. Yeah,
for sure. And this whole little thing, I'm just like, this is unsettling.
It's a good misdirection though, thinking that he's an innocent kid trying to hide shit from him.
Well, that and then also the fact that like it up until the very last like literal second, it implies that Wilkins is going to kill the kid.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he's just
exactly.
Like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't, and then he's just like, "Oh, we're gonna make a scary
it's a
face.
Dark little family."
I know.
Oh, it's awesome.
A family of psychos. So anyway, let's talk about the Halloween school bus massacre, which is a fucking mouthful.
It's a bit. You know what? This actually was always, I think, it's a very strong self-contained story.
Mm-hmm.
Like this in particular, it's the most self-contained. I feel like out of all of them,
this could have been its own movie.
100%. 100 fucking.
In my
percent.
Opinion,
yes.
So. A group of trick-or-treaters, Macy, Sarah, Chip, and Schrader.
White-ass motherfucking names.
This, I mean, come now. Yeah. This is like suburbia, USA. Meet Rhonda, a Halloween fanatic said to be a savant. Also, a 2007 appropriate drop of the R word, in which I was just like, wow, okay.
Again, for 2007 appropriate, or, you know, diction, check our Jennifer's Body episode, which is full of that, like, wow, they can't get away with that anymore.
No.
Yeah.
So, the group travels to a local quarry where Macy recalls the urban legend of the Halloween school bus massacre, where 8 mentally challenged children died in a school bus on Halloween. Go figure. The driver had been paid by their worn-out parents to dispose of them and was the only survivor of the crash, supposedly.
Yeah.
So, this whole thing is a great little story within the story within
it's
the story.
Really fucked up.
Their masks, the whole thing, creepy as hell. You feel for these kids because, like, they are literally, like, these, like, you feel for them. Like, even in such a short period of time, they're, like, strapped, like, they're, like, chained in, like, the whole thing. It is very well done.
The kids are well acted, too. Like, they really show off. They're, like, these are just kids that, you know, they obviously, they have a deficiency.
Yeah.
And they need help.
Yeah, they just need help.
Mm-hmm. But the parents, you know, this is set back in the day, so the parents are like,
this is like the 50s or something.
Oh, yeah. Eugenics is still in the conversation.
Yeah. Nazis are actively in the military.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not a lot has changed.
No. So. Thanks. Great. Awesome. I feel great. So, the group offers 8 jack-o'-lanterns as tribute to the dead children. But they pull a prank on Rhonda, who is very sensitive. Let's just put it that way.
She says Samhain correctly, doesn't she?
She says, Samhain.
She's close. She's getting there.
It's Samhain. Well, no, you said it incorrectly.
Oh, fucking A. All right, fuck it up.
So they pull a prank on Rhonda, posing as zombies, and terrify her. And she falls and loses her glasses and, like, cracks her head open.
The production values these kids were able to manage
in 30 seconds is a little...
It's insane.
I'm just like, really?
Yeah.
So when Schrader defends Rhonda, a jealous Macy ends up kicking one of the lanterns into the quarry lake, and after they are exposed, causing the massacred children themselves to rise as the undead.
Yeah, I always like this twist of just like, it seemed almost Scooby-Doo-ish.
Yes.
Like a little Scooby-Doo-ish.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
They're like, but the real zombies are actually down here, you fucking idiots.
You were right the whole time. Yeah, that misdirect is really, really cool. The group flees, but Rhonda reaches the elevator first and leaves them to die at the zombie children's hands.
Just like in a baller-ass shot of her just low angle being like, nope, fuck you guys.
Oh, this amazing, like, she's just like, she has this opportunity and like she looks at like, cause like Schrader, this like kind of like this like cute guy that like she kind of obviously has a crush on, and Macy, like the like mean girl of the group.
Oh, yeah.
She's kind of like eye rolling the whole
time. She's the Gretchen of the whole fucking crew. Yeah.
And Rhonda is like, has this like moment where she's just like, I could let him on, but he also was part, like, he was complacent. Mm-hmm. Like, he kind of just let it happen. And even though he felt bad after, he still fucking did it. She was just like, nah.
Adios, amigo. I'm sorry.
Goodbye. And like, Lynn like leaves, and like they get brutally fucking murdered. Brutally murdered.
Just thinking, she's all going up. He's like, we will never ever.
What a wonderful 2011 reference.
Yes, it's so close. Is that when that came out? God damn it.
2010, yeah.
Ugh, I don't know my Swift, I'm sorry.
It's fine, I don't expect you to.
No, yeah, I'm a little out of my element there.
Tristan, who's a fan of the podcast and previous guest on the show, does know his Taylor Swift and is probably yelling the correct year at me.
Oh, so. Yeah, 100%.
But
2013, god damn it.
It's not 2013, I know, because I danced to it for a choreographed thing for halftime at my homecoming dance, or for homecoming halftime show for my high school's football game when I was like my junior year in high school.
Okay, so a little before that. Gotcha. So
definitely not.
Yeah, it was in the lexicon.
I can put it out, there's a framework there. Anyway, so she briefly encounters Sam while leaving, and the two kind of do like this like nod of respect at each other.
He's like, I was gonna let them kill you, but like, honestly, dude, get yours. Game, like, recognized game.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, they kind of do, like, the nod.
That's the best. I love that.
Well, yeah, game recognizes game. Like, that's exactly what happens. And then they just kind of go their separate ways.
So, like, Sam is like, if you want to be immortal someday, like, by all means, I'll find a witch mask.
we'll my people will call your people.
Yes, we'll make it happen.
We'll make it happen.
And she's just like, fuck. I did like him, but you know what? We will never.
Fuck off. She's like, well, I think in her own little bad bitch moment, like, she was just like, there will be others.
Right? That's true. She had that little tiny strut there.
She's just, and then the rest of the time, she's just like, I can't see shit.
Yeah. But anyways, that's the end of that segment. We're going to another one right here. And again, solid segments down the fucking line. As much as I like that one, there's another good one here. So, Lori, a self-conscious young woman around 22, I would say, right? I believe they mentioned her actual age.
Yeah,
22. Arrives in town for a Halloween party with her sister, Danielle, and friends Maria and Janet, fucking hot.
And they're all hot. They're all getting ready for Halloween. And first of all, who buys their Halloween costume on Halloween? Because, like, that's what's going on in this costume shop in this little town in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, it's called Warren's Valley, Ohio.
You know they're not stocking, like, a whole lot of Halloween costumes.
But, like, but that's the thing. It's, like, this specific town relishes in Halloween.
Yeah.
Warren's Valley, Ohio.
They probably account for the last minute, though.
It's true.
They probably
account
for that.
Like, the people who show up from out of town. But, like, I'm waving my arms frantically because, like, they make a point to be, like, this specific town where this specific group of people fucking love Halloween. Like, Halloween, like, it's like a tradition. Like, these people, like, go in on Halloween. And I'm like, well, where is it?
They're like,
I'm not fucking moving to Ohio, but I would like to visit.
You know what I think happened is, they were trying to get some costumes on the way over there, but, like, not slutty enough. Just not true. Slutty enough. And,
yeah,
like, it was so not slutty enough, by the time they got to Warren, like, they have to, we're going to take slutty default, whatever happens.
Yeah,
It was slutty enough. I think so.
It was slutty, just slutty
just
enough.
Just there. They're like, this is exactly what we're looking for. These guys are the real deal.
You know the kid who was, like, peeping through the holes in the thing?
Yeah, because remember, in the beginning of this bit, they are dressing up.
Yeah.
And somebody's looking.
Yeah, that kid? That's the same kid who plays Sam.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's your little fun fact.
There you go. A little production. The more you know. Did-a-do.
Very nice. Thank you.
Can't see my hands. It's a podcast. Okay. So
it was a little rainbow.
It was a little rainbow going over. Yes. But they pick up dates, save for Lori, who wants her quote unquote first time to be special and declines their invitation for a get together to enjoy the town festival instead.
This is so, like, non-informative this entire time, and, like, obviously it's, like, it's so, like, obviously non-obvious that, like, you think she's talking about sex. And I'm just like, yes.
Yeah, I'm like, Jesus, man. Okay, well she wants to respect her wishes, I guess. In my mind, I'm just like, Anna Paquin, though? Like,
Anna Paquin, the 22-year-old virgin?
Yeah, no, she can get it. I'm sorry. So,
my bisexual queen.
Lori encounters a hooded serial killer dressed as a vampire who attacks her. And he has these weird little fucking teeth. And he looks, production value-wise, looks pretty, like, menacing in some ways, for sure.
Yes. And this also cuts between him killing someone else earlier and, like, this
whole thing. Yeah, you understand he's a threat by the time he comes into this story.
Because, like, obviously this is, like, something that happens earlier, and it's just, like, something that can't... It's, like, one of those, like, mini-narratives that doesn't really neatly fit into any of the other narratives.
Yeah, it's... Exactly. I mean, it has, like, a bits here, but I don't know. It's not too much built up. It's just, like, it's a little thing. Anyways, so while this attack is happening, at a bonfire, Lori's friends witness the man who is now severely injured.
Oh, he has a compound fracture that is nasty.
Fucking gross. Falling out of a tree and unmask him, revealed to be... Principal motherfucking Wilkins,
being that
insane killer, who at the beginning of this, by the way, he, like, had plans.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, Dad has a date. And I'm like, all right.
Mm-hmm. His plans were to try to like take
kill
out
some bitches. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then he got got.
He got got. Oh yeah, he got got. Because of course Lori appears, having decided to join them for this occasion, and the girls, just out of nowhere, transform into werewolves, devouring Wilkins and their deceased dates. Sam witnesses this feast, of course.
This is a fucking, like, okay, let me set the scene for you, shall we? Like, mm-hmm. She gets on top of him, like, literally is straddling this, like, half-dead man. Mm-hmm. And, like, is, like, all, like, seductive and shit. And then, like, in the background, like, they're all, like, these super hot women are, like, dancing by a big old bonfire.
Clothes
are
getting ripped off.
Clothes are getting ripped off. And then... fucking, hold on. Wait for it. Sweet Dreams by Marilyn Manson starts playing in the background, like, the most, like, quintessential goth, like, sexy Halloween song.
It's the most early 2000s, which is why I was surprised that it's in a late 2000s movie. Because, yeah.
I'm just like, interesting song choice.
I'm like, huh, 2003, okay.
We're just doing it, yeah. But yeah, so that starts happening, and then, like, everyone's getting naked and turning into werewolves, and like Sam is just sitting there on a log watching.
They rip off their clothes, and like, their skin is easy to rip off their clothes.
Yeah, like, so they rip off their clothes and then their skin, and like literally like they are pulling off their skin like gloves, and mm-hmm. I'm just like, okay, mm-hmm. but they're werewolves underneath, so I guess it's not that bad. But yeah, and then like this is like the one time in the movie where you get tits, but you get a lot of tits.
You do. You get they really really stack them up.
Like literally, sure. There's a shot where it is just a close up of someone's boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, okay. And then you just cut. It cuts to a child sitting on a log just like watching them eat men, and it's just like, wow, this is the kind of movie we're going for.
Well, I love how it's like it plays, this whole bit is playing Lori up as like this most innocent, like whatever kind of person,
but she knows what she's about.
Exactly. And that's the thing though, it's like, but the way it plays it is like, you're so like, watch out, poor girl.
There's
menace. We've up until this point in the movie, there's some shit going down, and you're in danger.
And yeah, you're lulled into this false sense of security.
And then it's like, no. Actually, the piece of shit is in danger, and
she's
for good reason.
Eat him.
Yes, absolutely. So, good bit. I really like this one. 100%. Yeah.
And then towards the end, this is kind of towards the end of the movie. So
this is the most Twilight Zone-y one.
Yeah,
to me, this is 100%.
This is a home invader mm-hmm. type one. So anyway, so during the time Wilkins is burying Charlie's body, like all the way back at the beginning of the movie, that guy Krieg, Mr. Krieg, we were talking about,
Brian Cox.
Yes, he scares away children to steal their candy, aided by his dog. Sam breaks into his house, decorating it with Halloween memorabilia.
That lawn shot was the shit. Like, that was cool as fuck.
It was cool.
Mm-hmm.
So Sam, unmasked as a demonic-looking pumpkin-headed child, attacks Krieg.
Oh, wow.
This whole thing is, like, they're chasing each other around, like, glass is being used, like, someone gets, like, he gets, like, his Achilles tendon cut.
Nastily.
A la, like, fucking Pet Cemetery. Like, it was,
That's one of Chucky's staples also. You know? It's a horror staple.
However, when he seemingly prepares to kill Krieg, he instead takes a chocolate bar that landed on Krieg's chest instead.
Such a tense scene, too, because Krieg's fucked up by this point.
At this point, he's kind of, like, made his peace with his maker. He's mm-hmm. like, okay, this is it.
This fucking little pumpkin-headed kid's gonna kill me.
And he is a weird-looking fucking kid.
Yeah, I agree.
A weird-looking motherfucker.
The burlap sack really did good.
Yeah.
I'm asking that.
So, satisfied that Krieg offered him candy, thus fulfilling a tradition of Halloween, Sam takes his leave from a very confused Krieg. Depending on how you read it. Mm-hmm. I don't personally interpret it that way. It cuts to photographs in the fireplace, which reveal that Krieg is actually the bus driver that killed the 8 children from Halloween School Bus Massacre.
There you go. Oh, that's a very good twist, though. Like, I really enjoyed that the first time I watched it.
Oh, yeah, when it, like, you see the photograph and you're like, oh,
he's the motherfucker.
No.
He's the motherfucker.
Yeah.
And, like, because, again, we're doing this bit by bit, but narratively, it's, like, all
it
over the place.
It cuts back and forth. And, so, like, you're getting bits and pieces. I will say the only one that is told in the most, like, linear fashion is the Halloween School Bus Massacre
one. Yes, which is why I really like it.
Yeah, because that one is the one that, like, and then, because the other ones could kind of jump back and forth. The one with Principal Wilkins and the werewolves, those ones kind of bounce back and forth because they rely on each other a lot more.
This one is also a lot on its own, but it ties very, very strongly to the beginning of the film.
Yes.
So it's
because he's
still,
neighbors with Emma and whoever have, like, the Halloween couple.
And so, Wilkins. So it's it's a good bookend to the whole thing, really.
I agree.
Yeah. So, of course, everything wraps up in a weird kind of little bow. So later, Creed begins giving out candy to children before gazing at the neighborhood.
Okay, so I love this because it's kind of like a, he learned his lesson.
Yeah.
Like, instead of taking children, or taking candy from the children, he's, like, giving out candy. Sure, they're mints, but, like, whatever.
Yeah,
Baby
steps.
Even this one, like, little girl is just like, thanks, Mr. Creed. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, okay, that's cute. And it's just, it's a nice bookend, and then obviously. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, you get, like, these, like, little wrap-up moments. So, he witnesses, in his neighborhood gazing, Rhonda casually pulling her pumpkin cart along, fresh from the whole witch scenario where she survived.
Yeah. Staring off into space, a shell of a human, now that she's just killed 5 people.
Right? He also sees Billy handing out treats to other kids and enjoying himself.
Sorry, 4 people.
Yeah, 4 people, that's right. Simultaneously, we see Lori being dropped off by her sister and friends, which I always like that shot of them, too. They're like, haha, it's like a regular thing, but I'm like, you guys
just murdered.
Exactly. he catches sight of Sam watching Emma and Henry returning home, which harkens back to the beginning of the film, with him going to exact punishment when Emma, of course, blows out a jack-o'-lantern. So he returns inside, only to receive a knock at the door. So Krieg opens it, revealing the resurrected children waiting for him. Probably followed Rhonda over there.
So good.
The final shots of the film show Krieg being dismembered and the children having gotten their vengeance. Oh, good wraparound.
There's
a level of catharsis to all of this.
No, all of them. They have such a good emotional, like, fucking, like, fuck yes. Mm-hmm. Like, good satisfaction.
Absolutely.
Like, they're not happy endings by any stretch of the imagination, but they give you the emotional oomph you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I mean, Halloween doesn't necessarily have to have happy endings. It's Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always like that Twilight Zone-y kind of way of wrapping a story up, and, like, everybody got what they fucking deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, because you're dealing with some bad people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I dig it. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is Trick or Treat.
Yay!
Very, very, very good quintessential Halloween film.
So
good.
I
would say 100%.
Okay, do you want to get into some discussion?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're here. Yeah.
I mean, we're here.
Yeah,
might as well.
I agree. Yeah.
No, get out.
Rating. Not again. You're done.
No, fuck off. No. So, thoughts?
This is a great movie. I really, really like it. I think, like I was saying at the beginning of this podcast, it has these production values that are so A+ for when I see that it was budgeted at this and it wasn't even released on fucking theaters and all this bullshit. And I'm like, look at this cast. I would say the only flaw is they tried to Tarantino it, and I think they overshot their load on this one sometimes. Like, it could have been a little more fine-tuned in that sense.
Yes. I do think it was a little overeager.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And the thing is, like, but that's, like, not a big flaw. Like, I feel like that makes repeat viewings actually kind of good, because you're kind of over that at a certain point. I just think that fucks up at first. But otherwise, it's all the, like, there's not a weak link in the story chain. There really isn't.
No, it is honestly, I gotta give freaking props to Doherty. Like, this is a fabulously written story, in 100%, my opinion.
100%.
Like, it's fun.
Agree.
Like, again, much like The Craft, like, it is not trying to be anything more than what it is. It is just a fun Halloween story. Like, it goes back truly to, like, the roots of Halloween. It's a fun little cautionary tale. Like, it has...
Tons of cautionary tales. Don't be a piece of shit.
Well, it has all of also those little things, like, about, like, always check your candy, never blow out a jack-o'-lantern. Like, all of those fun little...
Don't
like,
be a murderer.
Always good. Yeah. Always good. I will always advocate for that. Don't murder people.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, because apparently Anthony wants you to punch people in the face, but that's Anthony.
But that's not murder. That's that's regular assault.
I mean, unless, you know what?
And for a bad opinion. Come on. It's 2020. That's justified.
Very good.
I don't agree with you.
Anthony just hit me. No.
And I drank her drink. Oh, no, I don't have any more booze.
The end of the world.
Yes. But solid movie. Very, very solid film.
Yeah.
Overall. I don't even know, honestly, as much as I dog on, like, I would say, like, the editing and whatever it is that, like, could make it, like, I wouldn't even be able to think of a way that you can make it even fix it. There's no real way for that to happen. It's just the nature of the film.
Yeah, like, it's fine as is. For me, like, I think my experience with this movie, I got to see it in theaters.
You did?
Yes, it was another Camp Frida viewing last year that I got
time.
To see.
That's a good time.
It was, well, because it was the very first one I saw. Like, mm-hmm. It was the first movie of the night.
That's
last
Halloween-ass
year.
Movie right
yeah.
there. Yeah.
And so it was like, and it was the first time I'd ever seen it. So I was like sitting there, like, I was like, this is fucking good. Like, mm-hmm. This is like, I was like, holy shit. So when I was doing research and I saw that like this movie had never gotten a wide release, I was shocked. Like, I was like genuinely, like, I was like, I'm, because like, again, this movie came out in 2007. I was not watching horror movies in 2007. Mm-hmm. Like, I, even if it had a wide release, I wouldn't have known it. So I was very surprised at that, and truly, it deserves better.
Oh, yeah.
but I really, really liked it.
This, for me, actually was, as I've stated before, during a time of Netflix DVDs before streaming. I literally was, like, in the forums, and I'm like, people are talking about this movie on early Reddit and shit like that, and I'm like, I want to see what people are talking about. 'Cause I've been on Reddit since 2008. So, it's 12 years. Fuck me. Jesus. Okay, well, been doing that for 12 years.
That's something you'll be thinking about later.
Yeah. Wow, that's weird. Anyways, so back then, the communities were a lot more, like, actual discussion-based instead of, like, I want points for saying a comment.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people promoted this film, so I had to, you know, get it on fucking DVD. And, sat with the family. You know, we all just sat and chilled. Not my parents, but like all, you know, my brothers and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And we just watched this movie and we're like, holy shit, this is Halloween as hell. How did we not hear about this? And obviously this is why. Because God fucking damn it. It deserves more. It's a very good movie. So,
Justice for Trick or Treat 2020.
But you know what? Based off of our outline earlier, we talked a little bit about a sequel.
Yeah.
So... would this movie actually benefit from a sequel in today's day and age?
No.
You don't think so?
I would... that's my one, like, gripe. Is like, this movie does not need a sequel. Like, it is fine as is. Only because, like, would I like to see more content from, like, Sam? Like, mm-hmm. I think that would be really cool, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I'm so tired of franchises. Like, I'm so tired. I'm so burned out. Like, nothing, it doesn't need to be, like, I'm so tired of reboots, I'm tired of sequels, like, I'm like, it doesn't need to necessarily, like, this is just fine as is.
Give me a TV series. Every episode, every week, different half-hour episode, have Sam in the background.
Of something.
And have some new Halloween shit happen.
Alright.
Release it in October so people burn through it in October, make it, like, 6-7 episodes.
That just reminded me of something, sorry. I had a That's a Raven moment.
No, that I know. You just went, oh, what's going on?
I just remembered the Haunting of Bly Manor comes out either today or tomorrow.
I know what that is. Is that good?
It's the Haunting of Hill House Season 2.
Oh, cool. Okay. Wow.
But
that
it's like
snuck up on us.
It's a whole new, it's the same cast, but it's like a whole different story.
Anthology. Okay, that makes sense. Going the American Horror Story route.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
I can see that.
But it's supposed to be really, really good. Initial reviews are like fucking stellar.
Nice.
So I can't wait to be punched in the gut emotionally.
There you go. No, I honestly think, though, this would make a great... Do what Carpenter wanted to do with the OG Halloween. And have a Halloween fucking new stories.
Yeah.
Give us not too many. Don't give us 10 fucking episodes. Give us just a handful. Give us a handful every year and have Sam intertwine. No knowing the origins of Sam, whatever it is. He's just fucking there. Like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the approach.
So I think going in, like, the short format, like, releasing various little, like, shorts, I think is awesome. Like, that's fine. Like, I just don't need, like...
I don't need a movie.
I don't need Trick or Treat 7, The Revenge of fucking Sam. Like,
no,
you know?
No, I don't want it to be, like, franchise.
No.
I want it to be a celebration of Halloween.
Yeah, because that's what... That was the initial goal of this movie, and that's what I want. I want it to be true to the origins and the roots of the movie, right? And, like, that's kind of where I see it would be getting lost if it were to turn into, like, kind of a franchise.
I
am happy that it got kind of cemented in, like, horror fan culture. Like, I do like that it's kind of, like, iconic, just because I do love Sam.
Right? Well, to me, like... He's such a good character to, like, I feel like I want more, even though I know what we have is good.
Mm-hmm.
What we have is really good.
Well, I mean, even when I just said, like, you can find out his origins. There's a short all about his origins.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, I feel like there's so much to Halloween. Like, this movie got 4 or 5 segments of Halloween shit.
Yeah. Like, four
they,
and
they,
a half.
They could do more.
Uh-huh.
They could do... But then, I feel like if they put it in the movie format, there's too much expectation. There's too much, like, you have to adhere, and it has to be as good as that. If you go do just something different, and, you know, like, really play up to what the philosophy of this movie is, TV gives you more time to explore that.
I agree.
So, I would say do that. Don't do a movie, Doherty. I'm sorry, buddy. You know what? Everything's streaming right now, and the movies and theaters aren't even open. Don't even worry about it.
Fucking totally non-related. Did you see Dune got pushed to 2021?
Did it?
Yeah.
Course.
Dune, so the only thing still slated to come out this year is Wonder Woman.
That's interesting. I wonder how that's they're gonna have to push that.
Of course, they're going to eventually. Of course, they're going to eventually.
Way.
But yeah, the only thing, like, because Dune got pushed to 2021, so the only thing still slated to come out is Wonder Woman. Yeah, those are the last two. Those are slated to come out in December.
Great. That's it's gonna be a stacked 2021. But
it's true.
Yeah. Interesting thing, though, is we referenced this in one of our stories previously. Hocus Pocus was the number one movie in America.
Yeah.
Hocus Pocus was the our 50th episode, number one movie in America last week. And
it'll be like 3 weeks ago by the time this comes out.
First week of October. And it was very well deserved.
it's what they deserve, for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so we kind of also talked about this earlier. Do you think... If this movie got a wide release in 2020, obviously COVID notwithstanding, it would perform well.
No. Sorry. Audience is dumber.
Aww.
I think... that's me being an asshole. But I would say this movie would be not a theatrical release. It would be a Prime exclusive or like a Netflix original. It would be in that realm of movie.
You think Netflix would buy it?
I think if they did the same shit and they're like, Netflix would put it on their front page in October.
I think
with
Hulu
Sam
would
there.
Buy it.
I think Netflix would buy it. I don't know.
Interesting.
I only think I look at the way Netflix advertises their originals when they get it. They see marketing and iconography like that. They can get you to click on and be like, oh, the trailer's going on. I'm going to leave it here for a second. They would do that with this movie. 100%.
So you think Netflix would win the marketing war and be able to get people to watch it?
I would think, like, the way the movies you can
set up
and the way it looks, like, that's their jam.
Okay.
That's their jam.
You know what? I can see it now. You hover over it, the trailer, instead
Number one in the U.S. today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, instead of, like, the trailer, it's, like, it cuts to the beginning of, like, the couple, and they're walking down the street, and they're talking, and then she blows out the jack-o'-lantern, and, like, it just cuts. Like, I can see it.
Yeah.
Okay, you sold me, Netflix.
Yeah,
you sold me.
I mean, again, this is all fictional, because it's already out.
Of course, this is purely speculative at this point, but...
However, in the TV idea that I was talking about just moments ago, I don't think Netflix could afford it.
No.
I think that's maybe Amazon or Hulu. Probably Amazon, actually. Amazon has money at everything. Yeah.
Amazon, like, their production value for TV shows, holy shit.
They would be like, yes, we are doing the sequel to Trick or Treat, and we're doing it every fucking year, and it's 5 episodes. Fuck you. That's Amazon right there. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I just remembered I'm behind on The Boys.
Oh, I still need to watch that. I know. I get to
it's
it.
Okay. You have a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, I do. It's fine. I have
so much good. It's fucking... Ugh. Anyways, so, what is your favorite Halloween tradition? What is your go-to?
Decorating's
your thing?
Decorating, like, I just have very fond memories growing up, like, decorating, like, mm-hmm. with my family and stuff, and, like, just, like, I think more so than the day itself, mm-hmm. I think that's why I love Halloween so much. It's more than just the day itself, it's the weeks leading up to it, figuring yes. out what I'm yes. gonna be.
Absolutely.
Decorating the house, kind of, like, the vibe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cultivating the spooky vibes.
Getting the tone, that makes sense.
That's kind of my favorite thing. Like, for me, honestly, my most favorite Halloween tradition is putting Halloween, like, the like Dollar Tree gross, like, glass stickies.
Yeah.
Like, putting those on my window. Like, there I'm probably go. Gonna do that this year, but, like, that was, like, one of my favorite things growing up, because I thought they were the coolest thing ever.
You're like, ooh, pumpkin skeleton, what's that? Two things? Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, decorating, I think, is, like, probably my favorite Halloween tradition.
I mean, you only get to use Halloween decorations 1 month out of the fucking year.
So, speak for yourself.
Normally you only get to. But I mean, like, that's when, like, you get the new ones. That's mm-hmm. like Halloween metagame right
it's
there.
It's true. Because, like, yeah. right now, like, this is home decor shopping season for mm-hmm. me. Like, there this is go. When I get that's to go right. and be like, oh, now I can, like, put things up. Because, like, all the Halloween decorations that I'm getting right now, I'm just going to keep up.
I'm going to be honest with you. I stopped playing Animal Crossing for 4 months. They didn't update for Halloween shit. I've been on it every day buying Halloween things and turning my island into a horror fucking island.
That's awesome.
Because I didn't care. But then when I'm like, no, I want pumpkins and skeletons and shit, I'm going to put it everywhere.
That's fucking brilliant for the developer side of things, because I think they noticed that, like, people stopped playing mm-hmm. because, like, people played for about, I don't know, a month straight, burnt out, and then stopped playing. And then they're like, oh, we have to get people back on their fucking islands.
Oh, that's how they do it for that fucking game. And they're going to do it for Christmas, too. I'm like, oh, fuck you. Fuck. God damn it.
Oh, I still have to get a Switch.
You should.
It's on my list, dude. It's really good, dude. It's on my list. And, like, they're putting stuff out for it that, like, I actually will play. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm telling you. Just get it. Just take it.
I know. I just have to fucking take the plunge.
You do. You absolutely do. Now, my favorite Halloween tradition.
Yes, please.
And I did this earlier today. Scary movies.
Yay!
It's our podcast. Yes. But like, I scary movie the fuck out of Halloween. Like, it is, like, once a day at least kind of thing.
That's new for me. This is a new tradition that I'm implementing.
Oh, because of the 31 nights thing.
Yeah.
See, I don't have a schedule, though. That's I just don't have to.
No, you don't have to. I am just elaborating. Like, mm-hmm. I agree. The only reason that I have a schedule is that I need structure, or else I will just not do it.
Makes sense.
My challenge, dear listeners, I don't if you are not aware, I'm challenging myself to watch a new horror film that I have not seen every day for the month of October.
Nice.
And it's been really, really informative mm-hmm. so far, and it's given me some very good ideas for the podcast.
Right, badass. I mean, but, I've been following. I've been checking yes. on your impressions.
But no, it's been really, really fun. But yeah, having that for Halloween, and like having, cause like for like the past couple of years, I've tried each, like, for like the past 3 years to like watch a horror film every day, but I never made a list ahead of time mm-hmm. of like, okay, here's what I'm going to watch each day. And I think that was setting me up for failure, because like I just did all the brain power beforehand. Now exactly. I'm just like, I'm good.
But I don't know. Like, to me, it's that, and it's Treehouse of Horror is my other thing that I watch every year.
Yeah.
I go through as many as I can. But like today I watched Sleepaway Camp, which I had never seen.
You've never seen Sleepaway Camp?
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Man.
Surprisingly so. Wow. That I think this is probably the first time.
Yeah, you saw an OG slasher.
That you haven't.
Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that ending, okay. But
it's a very weird ending.
It is very weird.
It just gets weirder. The other ones, like Sleep.
I'm
like,
not even gonna watch the other ones. I can't. But I actually really enjoyed this one for the mystery. But it's one of those things where it's
I think Sleepaway Camp 2 is just like pure camp. Like it is.
They go. I saw the reviews of them. Actually.
Yeah, they just go straight into like Campsville, USA. Like
yeah. No, but that's why, like, this is my prime 80s slasher, like, with bad filmmaking and, like, really kooky special effects. Like, I want all of that. And that's October for me. So, yeah. Like, I'm probably going to watch Pumpkinhead or something tomorrow. Like, it's going to be all the things. Like, it's... And, of course, I augment it with my Simpsons Treehouse of Horror.
Of course.
It's my tradition. So, that's my Halloween
that's a
shit.
Fun tradition. But, yeah, no, I just... I mean, obviously, there's so much to love about Halloween and the traditions. Very nice, thank you. About the traditions. But, yeah, that's a big one for me. Obviously, I would say, like, family parties and stuff. Mm-hmm. But,
I mean... Yeah, okay.
In COVID, we're like...
We can't do it, no.
Yeah.
I would actually go to LA all the time. Before I lived in LA, I do Halloween out there.
I will say...
Out here, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that I do miss, or mm-hmm. that I started last year, that I was really looking forward to doing this year, is doing more haunted attractions.
Yeah.
I really wanted to get into it this year, and the fact that I can't mm-hmm. sucks. Like, the fact that, like, I can't do... the stuff that I wanted to, like, I that I, like, last year, I was like, okay, I only did a couple of it, but, like, now I have the bug, and, like, I want to do all of these haunts, and I want to mm-hmm. go here, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and, like, the fact that, like, now our options are limited to haunted hayrides and drive-through experiences.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
No.
Events like bar events, like yes. spooky bars.
I love that shit. Ugh, I would have loved to go to Beetle House during mm-hmm. this fucking time. Ugh. And then horror nights.
Yeah, all that shit. Like absolutely, like.
And Camp Frida.
Well, Camp Frida is going virtual this
year. That's true. That's true. You can still do it.
And actually, let me check my calendar. Camp Frida is happening this weekend, dear listeners.
Yes.
By the time this episode comes out, if you're listening before Saturday evening, it is happening this weekend. I will be attending, or at least attempting to, at this current juncture, mm-hmm. at the time of recording, my plans are to at least attempt it.
And it's virtual. You don't have to be a local. You don't have to be a local now.
You don't
now.
Have to be local. You can, you know, buy tickets. It's virtual. Maybe we'll try something for accountability purposes, because if I'm in the comfort of my own home, I might fall asleep. But yeah, if that's something that interests you, check out the Frida Cinema and go from there. But if you're interested in 12 consecutive hours of horror shenanigans, like, definitely check it out. It's going to be really, really fun. So, okay, so do you think we'll ever get to see this, like, mythical sequel?
Maybe. Honestly, with Doherty, I mean, he already fucked up a lot lately, but I don't know. I think enough time will pass. It's possible. I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but I think it's in the realm of possibility, totally honestly. Maybe not the film sequel, but maybe the TV thing I'm talking about, but, like, mm-hmm. I think... there's enough backing behind this film that at some point, some producer's going to be like, well, maybe. Kids like this, don't they?
Kids yeah. like Halloween, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think we will.
Only if Doherty's involved, though.
Yeah.
That's it. I think that's actually, like, the through line right
it's
there.
It's true. The fact that it's taking so long, I almost, like, I'm like, it's, like, depreciating in
no,
value.
No, 100%. I agree. But I feel like there's going to be... past a certain point where it's like, it's been so long that, boy, don't you guys remember Trick or Treats? Like, that's what's gonna
do
happen.
We have a movie for you.
It's gonna be the freaking Cobra Kai of the Halloween shit. Like,
it's
that's
true.
What's gonna happen.
All right, well, let's kill of the film. Do you have one?
I think there's a level of catharsis for Mr. Wilkins getting taken out.
Really?
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, it's the teenagers.
No, I mean, that makes total sense, but only one of those kills had Anna Paquin on top of them.
It's true. So, I mean,
now,
I get it.
Now,
like, all of us want to be murdered by Anna Paquin.
Yeah, I agree.
Really deep down, like, that's mm-hmm. all I want. Mm-hmm. I get it. I've seen True Blood, I get it.
I haven't seen True Blood, but I will take it. I know. I haven't.
Okay, you're talking about how hot Anna Paquin is, and you haven't seen True Blood?
I've seen episodes, though, that exemplify the hotness. It was on before Game of Thrones.
Oh my god. Do yourself a favor. I fucking love True Blood.
Okay.
Like, it is, like, everything I love. It is an adult vampire television program.
I do have to watch True Blood. I do. I agree.
Everything I love. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, that's my kill of the film, is the teenagers, because they deserve it.
They deserve it. But see, I feel like, you know, fucking Principal also really deserved
it. They all deserved it. No one died in this movie who pretty much did not deserve to die, except for Emma in the beginning, but she was also kind of a bitch.
She had she died for all the suburban moms. She was suburban mom Jesus.
She died for
Jesus.
The wasps of
the... Yeah, 100%. She's Karen Jesus. That's what happened.
She's Karen Jesus.
She did. She died.
Fuck! God damn it! Oh my god! Anthony!
She died for all of their sins.
Oh god, thanks.
He yelled at minorities and shit like she was...
Oh my god. Very good. Alright. Well... Now that we have committed that act of sacrilege, rate this movie out of 5 horribly hidden razor blades in Halloween candy.
4.5 horribly hidden razor blades. It's right there. The pacing the structure is a little off.
I'm also going to give it 4.5. Yeah. It's like so, so good, but like it's. I can't give it a 5.
I can't give it a 5.
I can't give it a 5 in good conscience only because it's just like it's clearly not taking itself very seriously.
Oh, that for sure. That
you know?
For sure. Yeah.
Like, it's just a fun movie. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, you know, it is what it is, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a fun Halloween party movie.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Exactly. No, I agree. 100%.
If you're having a COVID-safe, like, socially distant, household-only Halloween party this year, might I suggest Trick or Treat?
I think it's a very good suggestion.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. And we did do the episode on it, so yeah, please do it.
Please.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That was Trick or Treat from 2007.
Next week, 100.
This is episode 99.
This is episode 99. Yep. Episode 100 next week. Episode 100 next week.
Anthony Fuentes. We have done 99 episodes. We have our 100th episode next week. What the fuck?
I don't know. We've produced 100. Think about that. An hour and a half average. For 100 episodes.
Oh, God.
That's a lot. That's like, that's a lot of hours.
That is many hours.
Of
and
our
not
voice.
And not even counting the usual hours put in before, the hours put in after.
Absolutely. For all you guys.
Hours in between of us just communicating of like what we want to do with this bitch.
The hours driving through traffic to get over here.
Yeah. You know? And the hours of me driving to get to you when I used to work in Irvine and have to drive to
Los Angeles. That's right. God damn, we're doing it, guys. We got a big 100th episode next week.
Next week, we have a guest joining us for our 100th episode, a long time standing guest of the podcast. Friend of the podcast.
I think this will actually put him as the most utilized guest after this episode.
Before, but definitely our most commonly utilized friend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely.
So,
and it's about something that we love, and I can't wait to talk about it. I've actually been talking about it this whole entire run of the series, but you'll find out.
It's something frequently mentioned often on the podcast. I'm very excited.
Me too.
It's gonna be a great time. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this week. Make sure to join us next week for our 100th episode. We hope you will join us there. In the meantime, if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We are on Twitter and Facebook at Horror People Pod. And then you can find us on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. And then you can find Mr. Anthony Fuentes Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. And then you can find me, Alex Webster, on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. And I think with that, don't, you know, be a dickhead and always check your candy.
That's right. And don't bite women with fake teeth, because they might be wolves.
They might be werewolves, especially if they're hot like Anna Paquin.
That's true. Watch out for the hotties.
Bye, guys.
See ya.